And Marjorie Collins is a clinical psychologist and neuropsychologist who's helping us here today on the program to understand the unconscious mind and how it influences your perceptions and beliefs. There's a lot there, yeah. Marjorie. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello.
It's a bit deep when I say it's a lot there, but it's fascinating. And the part of what caught my eye when I was looking at your email here was those illusions and those things we see on social media where it tricks your brain or shows you that your brain is seeing something that's not there. Could you sort of tell us more about those illusions?
I find as a psychologist and also as a person who's done a lot of research into our unconscious mind, I find these illusions really fascinating because what they tell us is a lot about how our minds actually work. What we do, our brains are constantly ticking away, picking up all sorts of information, making sense of our world, helping us to work out how to respond to various different situations and so forth. And so what it likes to do in order to be able to be efficient is actually to do things quickly and easily. And because it does things quickly and easily, it usually hums along really well, interpreting what's going on. We don't get caught up a lot in our worlds, but every now and then with things such as an illusion or when we've mistaken something, that's actually when we discover, oh, so these are the ways in which our minds actually work, and these are the ways in which unconsciously we're trying to piece things together in the world. Mm. And we're piecing things together in a way of making sense of the world. But what we see out there is not necessarily what is actually out there. Because our perceptions are very influenced, you might be surprised to hear, by our memory.
Yes. I see. Because that's sort of a snapshot of the past. And your brain is going back to the patterns of something that might have happened in the past, and they're sort of just slotting it into what's happening now, but it's not really what's happening. Is that right, Marjorie?
Yes.
Right.
Yep, that's exactly what occurs. Oh. So it's imposing onto the world in order to be quick and efficient, saying just sort of taking shortcuts, making sense of the world,
right,
and
right.
Sometimes when it's caught up, it's like, oh, okay, I'm
so I guess that's a survival thing too. I mean, your mind has to take shortcuts. Otherwise, you'll see something and you'll have to work it out every time you see it. It's something simple like, I don't know, picking up a glass of water, for example. So it knows that you've done it before and the brain says, yeah, I've done this before, so I know how to do it. So it's sort of a survival thing. So it's a good thing. And could it be a bad thing as well?
It can be a bad thing. Mostly it's a good thing, and that's why we learn to just simply it's actually our unconscious mind through our memories is actually just ticking away, picking up all sorts of information, making sense of it. Like, for example, how far do I have to lift my leg up to go up this stair or down the staircase? How far out do I have to reach my arm in order to pick up the book? We don't think about what we're doing because, in fact, our brains or our minds have got so used to doing them that we just impose templates from the brain in order to do that.
Can you look past that, Marjorie? And when I say look past it, okay, so templates, how do you, if you've got a bad template, how do you sort of put that aside and say, well, what's really happening here? Can you sort of, or are we all just slaves to our unconscious mind and our memory?
We can put it aside, but there are times when it's actually really impossible to put aside the things that we've learned really, really well. For example, I don't know if your listeners are aware of visual illusions such as the Muller-Lyer illusion, one of them is called, and another one is called, for example, the Ponzo illusion, where the drawing looks like a set of railway tracks that are going out into the distance. And you can actually draw lines in the middle of that particular illusion. And people will impose what they think is depth onto the two-dimensional picture. And so they misperceive the length of some of the lines that are put into those illusions because they're seeing it as got receding into the distance. Our unconscious mind is automatically saying, yep, that's a depth picture. And so, therefore, the line that's further away is actually just the same size as the one that's close to you.
Right, right. So your mind's assuming that, okay, this is a depth picture, but it's actually just a two-dimensional picture, and the brain's doing the work.
And you cannot overcome it. Even when you know that the lines are actually the same length, you cannot overcome that misperception. But if you're a person who has not lived in an environment where you're used to seeing things receding away into the distance like that, then in fact you're not subject to that illusion.
Right.
You don't
right.
experience it.
So would that be young people or people?
Yes, so we learn to impose those assumptions about depth onto pictures. We live in a built environment in the Western world, so there's lots of edges, there's corners receding away from us and receding towards us. So when we see a 2D picture that seems to be a corner, we'll actually impose onto it whether or not we think it's depth going towards or away from us. And it will influence how long we think the line is going from the floor up to the ceiling.
Right.
When we're given a ruler where we can measure how the lines, we cannot overcome the fact that, well, this line looks like it's receding away and this other one looks like it's coming towards us, because we have learned in our built environment to automatically do that with our unconscious minds, so it's effortless. Whereas people who've lived in, for example, a non-built environment, perhaps in the desert or perhaps with lots of rounded huts and so forth, they do not see.
They don't see it.
No.
How cool, because it's not in their computer programs, so in their mind.
Exactly.
So what hope do us... I'm talking about me, oldies here that are in a, you know, creative area. You know, I want to stay creative in sort of my sort of media life and business life. As I get older, more memories, more experiences and more patterns, you know, because I've been here before, been to this meeting 100 times. How do I stay creative and fluid and not be a victim of the patterns that I've got in my brain?
Okay, well, one of the reasons that those patterns catch us out, so to speak, is that they're automatic. And when they're automatic, they're pretty fast. But if you spend time sitting down, having a relaxed time, a bit of reverie, you can actually process or think about things in a much slower way, or allow various different parts of your brain to get more in sync with each other. That actually, it's a little bit different from illusions, but it's actually one of the ways that the creative process can happen. And you might be aware of those times. Some of the greatest scientific inventions have been discovered while somebody's been asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, during dreams.
That. That's right.
Yes. Yep.
Well, Einstein, so you know, because he's done all this thinking throughout the day, I know it's either a fallacy or, you know, he was in the shower or, you know, doing something which was mundane when the, you know, the theory of relativity came to him. So it was, or they sleep and wake up and think, oh, that's the answer.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Yep. So it's actually a combination, really, of him actually doing really a lot of work. But then, and so that's really effortful and slow. But then putting it aside, just allowing your brain to rest. In allowing your brain to rest, which you can do with things such as mindfulness, for example, as well, the various different parts of the brain can come more into sync with one another.
Uh-huh.
And therefore generate associations between things that you wouldn't have thought about before.
Okay. Now, this is one a little out of left field, Marjorie. What's going on in the minds of conspiracy theorists? You know, these people who are convinced that the Earth is flat. You know, we see them, you know, on the news, I don't know, even locals, thinking of Americans, or they're paranoid about something, about the government hiding something from them, and they've got this conspiracy. You know, I guess with the pandemic, we saw it as well. People saying, well, it's just all made up. What's going on in their minds? Why are they convincing themselves that, you know, the world's against them and there's some sort of conspiracy when there isn't?
Well, I think one of the things with social media, for example, is, as you know, they describe it as you can go down a rabbit hole. All of us can go down different sorts of rabbit holes. But what they do is selectively pay attention to information that seems to be consistent with what they believe, and then they can find some other information uh-huh. that seems to be consistent, and they just basically veer off in that direction.
And they tend to ignore any evidence yep. to the contrary. You know, you could say to them, you've seen certain documentaries, and they just brushes past them. Is that what they say, you know, racists do? They've got an idea about certain races and they just find evidence that sort of backs up their idea about a person or about a culture, and they're just sort of fishing for stuff that backs up their incorrect idea.
It can do. Actually, stereotypes, it might be hard to believe, but stereotypes, which are not quite the same as racism, but they can merge into that. Stereotypes are actually, a lot of the cognitive research in psychology has shown that they are actually as a consequence, again, of the brain taking shortcuts, just
right.
quickly and automatically picking up information, categorising it into a particular category and then going from there.
Yep.
We can overcome those, though, actually by sitting back and going, hang on a minute, how have I actually processed that? Is that really fair? Have I taken into account all the evidence that's available? So stereotypes, thankfully, can be overcome by more careful about what we're thinking about.
Yes, so stereotypes can be good, but you make a conscious decision to overcome them. I dabble occasionally in comedy, Marjorie, and you say stereotypes. You know, there's this thing about, you know, stand-up comedy, and you go to the place and everybody's distracted. They're drinking and they're having a good time. So often jokes about stereotypes, you know, the Irish or whatever, it appeals to that audience because they're sort of half engaged, half in, paying attention, and everybody sort of agrees on a stereotype, if you know what I mean. So if you sort of...
Yeah.
It's not too complicated for someone to understand. So just to your point, that stereotypes is an assumption we make, and it's just top of mind in a way that we just go to straight away.
Yes, we can go to it straight away, but we also don't have to believe it either. I mean, we might laugh at Irish jokes or whatever sort of jokes about whatever race, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we actually believe those things Irish people. Yeah.
Yep, yep. Fascinating. I love it. Thank you, Marjorie. Appreciate your time on the night shift here on Triple M. Now, I'm filling in for Luke Boner. He's back on Monday. But, I'll pass your number on to him because that was wonderful.
Okay.